We might pass on a few thoughts today about the subject of change. It seems to be very much in our conversation these days, and as the days get darker, I'm sure we're all able to see that the changes are taking place more rapidly than ever. And so it's that word change that I would like to pass on a few thoughts to you about today. And we might look at a few passages in connection with the Lord, first of all. So let's turn to Malachi 3:6. It's a lovely little verse. There are only about 7 words to it. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. We're living in a world that is changing more rapidly than ever. And those of us who have lived here a while can just go back in our minds to 25 years ago, and this will suffice us to get a measure of the changes that are taking place. And as I said, the changes are increasing in rapidity as the days go by. Now, beloved ones, what a consolation it is for you and for me to read such a verse as this. I am the Lord, I change not. In the first chapter of James, we read these words, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. In that blessed heart, there can be no change. All things change here. As a matter of fact, it says in Psalm 102, we might just read those verses. Psalm 102 and verses 25, 26, and 27. Psalm 102, verses 25, 26, and 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Now, isn't that so wonderful? The world changing, waxing old, God telling us that he's going to fold the whole thing up, tells us also in the second book of Peter that he's going to burn the whole thing up. The God who made a butterfly's wings, it's been said, is the same God that is going to burn this whole world up. The heavens and the earth are going to pass away. They're going to perish. They're going to wax old. But there is one who has immortality and in whose years there is no change. Oh, how blessed it is to know that this one is our loving Father, that he has one at his right hand, his beloved Son, who is there as our blessed assurance that nothing can change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The delight which a person receives when he steps ashore after having been at sea and in a storm That delight that he has when he puts his foot on the solid ground is the same joy that the Christian has when he rests his foot of faith on this wonderful truth. I am the Lord, I change not. And again, when a ship is at sea and the captain decides that they must anchor, those great anchor chains fall out and the anchor drags along the bottom of the sea for a while, and then it catches. And then that ship stands firm. And isn't that too like the Christian who has his hope firmly attached to that which is within the veil, with a God with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow, neither shadow of turning. What he was always in the past, his attributes, those attributes of his, they are still the same today. His power, his wisdom, his justice, his truth, they're all alike unchanged. He has been the refuge of his people, the stronghold in the day of trouble. He's that great high tower to which the righteous can run and be safe. Oh, how blessed it is to have this assurance in these dark, dark days. His love never changes. He has loved his people with an everlasting love. The blessed Lord Jesus displayed that love as never before on the cross. That love is the same for you and me today as it was on the day when he gave his life for us on the cross. And when this poor world will be forever gone, that love of his will be worn upon his brow, and he will still have the dew of his youth. Precious, blessed assurance, he changes not. The wheel of providence revolves, but the axle is eternal love. Oh, how lovely it is to realize this, beloved ones, today. And we have a little poem which says, "Death and change are busy ever. Man decays and ages move. But his mercy waneth never. God is wisdom. God is love." Now we come to another thing that never changes. It is the inheritance that each believer has in the glory, an unchangeable inheritance. And we read about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Well, now, isn't that just wonderful to realize that in the glory today there is that blessed inheritance that has been paid for by the blood of Christ, and it is there now. It's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Is it going to change? No, indeed. And then in that verse 5, we have this other side, and that is that We are kept for the inheritance, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So the inheritance is being kept for us, and we are being kept for the inheritance. Now, one more. 1 Corinthians 15. You see, you and I have a body of corruption. And this present body that we have is not fit for that inheritance, is not fit for that blessed presence of the Lord Jesus. For when he rose from the dead, he received his glorified body, and there he is now in the glory with that body of incorruption. And you and I need to have that body too. So here now comes this word change. We have to be changed. Now let's read that verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Well, here is a change. And what a change that is going to be when the blessed Savior steps out of glory and into the clouds to call us away. In that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our body is going to be changed. That is the change for which you and I are waiting today. Now we go on to another change. And there's a bit of a warning here for us. I think we recall the time when God promised his people, as they were traveling through the wilderness, that he would rain food from heaven. And that was the manna. And in the 16th of Exodus, we read of this. We might just turn to it now. Exodus chapter 16. And we will read the 14th verse. That's Exodus 16, verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Now then, let's go down to the 31st verse. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Well, it was bread from heaven, and it was suited for the people to eat as they traveled across that wilderness. It was God's provision for them in the day of their wilderness journey. Well, they had that manna for a long time. But we come to a sad change. Not in the manna. The manna never changed. But there was a change in the taste of it. Why would that be? Why would God give it a different taste? Now let's just turn to the book of Numbers, and we will see why. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 7. That's Numbers 11 and verse 7. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Now the taste has changed from honey to oil. God had a purpose in it. And what a message this is for you and for me. Let's go back a little in the chapter and read what God gives as the reason. Verse 4. That's Numbers 11 and 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. Oh, beloved friends, here was the answer. They were remembering. What was ahead of them? No, but what had been behind them. They were thinking of that land of Egypt where they had those six foods, the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic, and their soul was dried away. Naturally it would be when they were thinking of these things that were low down on the ground, worldly things, we might say, pictures of your and my being taken up with the things of our Egypt, this world. Oh, beloved ones, what's going to happen? The manna is going to change in its taste. That food, the blessed Lord Jesus, is our manna. John tells us that in his gospel. It's the manna that came down from heaven, God's perfect food, the taste of honey, sweet to our taste. Oh, how much we need to realize that it is only as we are feeding upon that blessed one, as we are realizing what he is now in the glory, that glorified man, that his person, his word, is going to be sweet to our taste, as sweet as honey. But if we are taken up with those things of this world, those things that are appealing to the eye, as they were warned there in that sixth verse, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You'll notice that the manna had the same appearance. It was like coriander seed, but it was the taste that had changed. Oh, isn't this so true of us? Are we not going to find that the sweetness will be turned to oil? It will lose that sweetness. May we just get this warning, beloved friends, that as we are feeding on Christ, he's going to be sweet as honey. But when our souls get dried away, and when our eyes are taken up with those things that are around us, we lose that heavenly vision, and we become short-sighted. And then that taste of heavenly things changes, and the things of life that we try to eat to satisfy us, they never satisfy. And the sweet taste of honey is changed to the flatness of oil. Would you like to hear about another one, another change? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we come to a change, not of our bodies as we rise to meet the Lord in the air, but here is a change that takes place right now in your life and mine. That change. We often remind the folks that when there is a real work of God in the soul, when a person puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a change in the life. But if there is no change, there's no evidence that there is that new birth. But when there is the change, why, that is the evidence that we have, that we can see. But now, here in the life of the Christian, in our life, as we go on through this world, this verse tells us that a change can and will take place when you and I are occupied with Christ. But we all, no one is accepted, no one is beyond this change, but we all, every one of us, with open face, now that's in contrast to the veil that the apostle was speaking about earlier in the chapter, where he was referring back to Moses in the day when he was caught up, when he was taken up to the top of Mount Sinai to meet the Lord. And there he received the Ten Commandments. But upon his return, he had been so much in the presence of the Lord that his face shone with such a glow that the children of Israel, they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand that shine on his face. And so he had to put a veil over his face when he spoke with the children of Israel. And then when he went back to speak with God, he took that veil off. And so this is what the apostle is referring to. Now, beloved ones, there can be no veil in front of our faces when we are speaking with the Lord, and neither does he want that veil over our eyes when we are passing through this world. And so he gives us this secret now, that if we are taken up, if we are occupied, if we are enjoying that Blessed One in the glory, but we all, with open face, beholding, now I understand that those next four words are not in the original writings, as in a glass. So we can read it right on. But we all, with open face, beholding the glory, this Blessed One, now as he, that we will become more devoted, but that we are changed. So there we are on this little subject of the word change. And we've had before us the two changes which can never take place. Our blessed Lord, a man in the glory now, can never change. And secondly, there is that inheritance which he has prepared for us, and that too is unchangeable, in the glory, waiting for us. But the last two are a little bit different. The change of our bodies is absolutely positive. Every believer, his body is going to be changed at the coming of the Lord Jesus. But lastly, there is a conditional change, and that is the one that should exercise our conscience while we're waiting for that Blessed One. That is that we will be changed now while we're waiting for him, but it is only, the promise is given to us only as we are occupied with that blessed one himself.